You're listening to Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast. And we're Tom Gazzola with you from TSN 1260, Edmonton sports leader, host of the Oilers pre- and post-game show. And I'll tell you what, the pre- and post-game show was a lot of fun on Saturday for all the wrong reasons, but I can't wait as we get set to do it again. The Oilers in action against the Blackhawks in Game 2 of their qualifying round series. And that puck drop goes at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time here in Edmonton. Today's episode, by the way, is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. We're going to get you set for Game 2, go into some of what we saw in Game 1. My goodness, that was stinky. And we're also going to hear from Oilers bench boss Dave Tippett on this edition of Locked On Oilers. And let's start with that game the other night. I mean, the Oilers were absolutely atrocious in every facet of the game except for the power play. And quite frankly, watching that game, I thought, like, right off the bat, especially in the first minute where we saw those two odd man rushes that the Oilers coughed up to the Blackhawks, they seemed tentative, they seemed scared, they seemed worried. And lo and behold, I mean, they get that 1-0 lead in that game on a power play goal from Connor McDavid. And I know that probably relieved some of people's anxieties when they saw that, but it was just, it was a phony 1-0 lead because they, I know the power play was money all season long, but to that point in the game, and I know it was quite early, they were playing terribly. And the power play provided a little bit of a reprieve from that. And so they jump out to that 1-goal lead. But it didn't take long for the Blackhawks to storm back. And Dylan Strome scores this goal. He banks it off of Mike Smith's back after plucking the puck away from Mike Smith. Or Mike Smith, quite frankly, just served up an absolute delicious deep dish pizza, Chicago style. So Strome takes advantage. Good player, good offensive instincts. And then the floodgates hit open. And I said on the postgame show, Mike Smith opened up the floodgates. Yes. But the subsequent goals that followed were not his fault entirely. Mikko Koskinen would have let in a lot of those goals too, especially considering the way that the Oilers were playing in that game for the entirety of it. I gave them the benefit of the doubt, and I said they played good for 10 out of the 50 minutes. There was a couple of good shifts from Draisaitl's line. There was, you know, one or two good shifts from the fourth line with Neil Chason and Jujhar Khaira, and then the power play was good. And the Oilers had four power play opportunities. That gives me about 10 minutes of decent play for the Oilers. The other 50 minutes were just a disaster, quite frankly. You know, so Strome scores that goal. Taves follows it up. Then Saad. Then Taves again. And then Kubalik gets one. And then Kubalik gets another one. Leon Draisaitl had cut the lead to 4-2 between the Kubalik goals and the Jonathan Taves second goal. And then the Oilers got a couple of goals in garbage time in the third period from James Neal and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. That didn't matter. The 6-4 result was absolutely flattering towards the Oilers. It was all of the 6-2 game that we had witnessed. Those two goals that they got late, you know, false hope, really. And then Patrick Kane had an empty net goal called back on an offside. You look at the shots on goal, 42-29 in favor of the Blackhawks. The Oilers won the faceoff battle, but quite frankly, a couple of lost faceoffs cost them goals. The Oilers outhit the Blackhawks 47-33, both teams with 15 blocked shots, 17 giveaways for Edmonton, just 8 for Chicago. I think that actually looks pretty accurate considering how they couldn't make a tape-to-tape pass to save their lives. They couldn't break out of their own zone. Adam Larson and Oscar Klefbom were stumbling over each other, and Ethan Bear and Darnell Nurse were mediocre at best. And quite frankly, the third pairing of Chris Russell and Matthew Benning were their best pairing. And in the postseason, that is not what you need. Is your third pairing being your best pairing is not a good sign. It's not a good indicator. And it generally leads to losses like we saw on Saturday. And going back to the goalies, because I know we're going to talk about the starting goalie for tonight's game. It's Mikko Koskinen, by the way, not to shock anyone, because nobody's surprised. But you could have put, and I said this on the postgame show, you could have put Grant Fuhr in that game, Bill Ranford, Andy Moog, Curtis Joseph from 97 and 98. You could have thrown Dwayne Rolison from 06 in there for the Oilers. You could have put Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek, Marty Brodeur in that game, they would not have won that game. That's how bad the team played in front of its goaltenders. And going with Mike Smith in game one, the guy had the best save percentage of all time in NHL history at .938 in the postseason. And I think with five goals on 23 shots, it dropped down to somewhere around .924 or .925, which is still the best of all time, save percentage-wise, in National Hockey League history. And he had beaten the Blackhawks before in the postseason. That was in 2012. So I understand. And when there was big games with the chips down on the line, Mike Smith has been Dave Tippett's go-to guy. And the team didn't show up. Mike Smith didn't do himself any favors with that first goal, didn't get any help on the rest of the goals. Mikko Koskinen comes in. He gets a nice goal scored against him. It didn't matter who started in net, and people wanted to point fingers and blame somebody, and they blamed Mike Smith. It wasn't on him. It was completely on the guys in front of him, except for that first goal, which was an absolute piece of bile, is the best way to describe it. So we're going to see some change between the pipes. We're going to talk about what we're expecting tonight as we continue on here on Locked On Oilers. But first, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, like is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand in his warehouse, which he happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. This is Locked On Oilers by the Locked On Podcast. Now we're game two of the Oilers qualifying round series against the Blackhawks goes tonight. Puck drop just after 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll see if Edmonton can bounce back. Dave Tippett did hold a pre-game media availability. No access to any of the media, to any of the morning skates or pregame skates for any teams. That's just part of this return to play situation. So we did have a chance to hear from Dave Tippett. Let's go into his pregame press conference.
Hey, Dave, I just had a question, and maybe you don't have any experience with Coach Jeremy Calton, but have you ever met him before this series? Do you have any information about him, and what's it like coaching against a younger coach like him?
Yeah, I've met Jeremy a couple times. We actually have some mutual friends. We've got some history together in Prince Albert, so it's known about him for a long time. And obviously, he's a good coach. You know, when you look at Chicago bringing a young guy like that in with the guy that used to be there, they have full confidence in him, and obviously, he's done a good job.
Dave, are you prepared at this point to announce who your starting goaltender is tonight and what your reasoning is?
Our starting goaltender is Koskinen.
Dave, are you prepared to maybe switch up your forward lines and maybe move Ennis on with Connor and put Nuge back with Leon?
We've got everybody available tonight. We'll sort that out as we go on here.
Must not be many people on this conference call on a holiday Monday. I have a couple of questions. One, Athanasio hardly played last game. Is that because there were a lot of power plays in the game? And the other question I have for you is several of the coaches are wearing track suits and stuff behind the bench now. You're wearing a shirt and a tie. Have you thought about switching it up?
No, we had talked about it a couple of weeks ago, what we, just the different options and talked about warmth and safety and everything. And ultimately it came back to, we wanted to make this as normal as possible. Coaches wear suit and tie during the game in a normal game. And that was the mindset behind our decision to do that. But there was some concern about, there's lots of water and splashing and stuff going on behind those benches and the ability to get things in and out of dry cleaning and cleaned and stuff like that. So there were some teams that had concerns, but we decided to go with the suit and tie. What was the other question?
Nothing else to you.
Oh, yeah, double A. Yeah, that was, he got lost a little bit in some shuffle there with the special teams. He was all right, but he's a player. We're looking for him to bring some speed and energy to our lineup, and we'll see where it goes tonight.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, I just want to ask you, when you look back at your penalty kill, I know Chicago scored a few power play goals. What did you see in there, and is there something that you can kind of tweak, or did the Blackhawks do something kind of that maybe you weren't ready for on their power play?
No, we did. Everybody's pre-scouted. You know what they're going to do. Just we made a couple of errors. First one, we had a couple defensemen caught in the corner and fell down and left us vulnerable in some layers. So we gave up the first one there. The last one was a deflection that was actually, the shot was going about 3 feet wide and deflecting going in. So we've looked at it. We there's some areas that we think we can improve on, but it was like the rest of our game. We were just, we weren't good enough. We'll have to improve tonight.
Dave, talk to us about pressure a little bit. You know, obviously you got to win this game. You're down 2-0. Are you okay with your players feeling a fair bit of pressure here and reacting hopefully the right way to it? Or as a coach, do you try to take the pressure off?
Well, I think you have to recognize the situation you're in, whether you call it pressure or we got to prepare to win a game. And that's as simple as that. We know we have to be better than we were in game one. There's pressure us to play better, but also you recognize the situation you're in. You've got to find a way to win a game to get it to best of three, and that's what our goal is tonight. But we're going to find out a lot about our team, you know, how we play tonight, how we deal with going out in a must-win game. Let's see how we react.
Dave, can you maybe just discuss the quality of game that Koskinen had given you through large chunks of the year? And though he doesn't have a ton of experience in this particular arena, and he does have some from the KHL, and how you think he'll handle the pressure of NHL playoff hockey?
I don't look at Koski as inexperienced. He's got lots of experience. It's not like he's a young guy getting thrown out there for the first time. So he's a steady guy. He'll go in and he'll give us a solid game. And we've talked about that since day one of the season. We've got two goaltenders we feel like can play, and our team will play well in front of either of them. And so Koski will get the start tonight, and we expect him to play well.
Dave, the incident with Tyler Ennis and Drake Caggiula, at the time, did you think, oh, that's a hit to the head, and why are they not calling a penalty? Because Ennis got a penalty right after that for delay of game, and yet it was fairly obvious if you saw a replay that he creased him in the head.
That's exactly. We, on the bench, we talked about it, very obvious, thought it was a dangerous hit, but when there's no call, there's nothing you can do about it. You got to move on. The league took care of it.
Dave, have you had much in the way of interactions with your captain the last couple of days? What's your sense of kind of where his head is at and his level of readiness after what happened in game one?
No, we've had lots of conversations with all our players and together, and Connor's certainly a part of that. We just recognize our group, we didn't play to the level we would have liked to or wanted to, and there's some things that we can do a lot better in this game, and we expect to do that. And Connor's no different than anybody else in our lineup. He wants to be better.
Game two of the qualifying round series between the Oilers and Blackhawks goes tonight down at Rogers Place. We'll see if the Oilers can bounce back from an abysmal start to this series. The NHL qualifiers continuing. Some surprises. We saw Arizona beat Nashville. We saw the Winnipeg Jets drop a 4-1 decision to Calgary. My goodness, I was at that game the other night. And just to see the Scheifele injury and then Patrick Laine go down in the third period. Matthew Tkachuk answer the bell against Blake Wheeler. Basically that sequence, Calgary was on its heels for the first part of that game and Winnipeg was looking pretty good. And then the incident with Tkachuk and Scheifele, I don't think he did it on purpose, by the way. I know there's some out there that think so. I don't think he did it on purpose. But as soon as Scheifele goes down, Wheeler tries to fight Tkachuk. Tkachuk wins that fight. That turned the game on a dime. completely in Calgary's favor, and they controlled it and go on to the 4-1 win. We'll see what happens this afternoon as those teams battle it out in game two. I mentioned Arizona beat Nashville, Montreal with the upset over Pittsburgh in overtime, former Oilers defenseman Jeff Petrie with a nice overtime winner. And, you know, what else will we see? Colorado stunning St. Louis with 0.1 second left on the clock in the round robin series. And then Minnesota blanking Vancouver 3-0 on Sunday night. Very, very interesting. Some more news that came from the National Hockey League today in regard to COVID-19. The NHL putting out a statement. The NHL completed the first week of its Phase 4 return to play with no positive test results for COVID-19 among the 7,013 tests administered. Testing was administered on a daily basis to all members of the club's 52-member traveling parties, including players. During the period from July 27th through August 1st, all 24 teams entered the secure zone in Edmonton and Toronto on July 26th. For the beginning of Phase 4, the NHL will continue to provide regular updates on COVID-19 testing results. The league will not be providing information on the identity of any individuals or clubs. We saw Austin Matthews go at it with Steve Simmons in his post-game press conference, telling him he didn't appreciate Simmons' article about outing him for being positive for COVID-19. Also, Drake Caggiula suspended for Game 2 of the Oilers-Blackhawks series for his head hit to Tyler Ennis. Ennis would get the penalty on that play after he went after Caggiula for the headshot that he received. And so no Drake Caggiula for the Blackhawks tonight. As mentioned, Mikko Koskinen getting his first ever NHL playoff start for the Oilers in this one. Hopefully things go better for the Oilers. We'll see how Koskinen does. He had mop-up duty the other night. I don't know if we can read too much into his performance at all. He did get scored on a nice goal by Dominik Kubalík. He's won 2 KHL championships. He's played in major international events. He's not a rookie or a young guy by any means at 31 years of age. So Mikko Koskinen is your starter. Also, hearing rumblings from inside the bubble that we may see Josh Archibald flipped with Zach Cassian. I pass it on to Ryan Rashog. He tweeted it out as well. Not sure if that intel is 100% good, but we may see that. Sounds like they were flipped at practice on Sunday. And then also some speculation that maybe Tyler Ennis and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins flip lines as well. We know how good Nugent-Hopkins performs with Leon Draisaitl and Kyler Yamamoto. That line was one of the best in the National Hockey League when it was together since the turn of the calendar in January from December. And Ennis, you know, he's looked good on almost any line he's played on, has spent some time with Connor McDavid as well since his time coming over from the Ottawa Senators. Don't expect anything to be different on defense. You never know, though. We could see. But the Oilers need a better game overall, and it's on them now. It's on the players that are going out there tonight, because they did not show up for game one whatsoever. By the way, just want to mention this. This little tidbit of information, 4 of 6 games on Monday's schedule will be game twos. Teams that take a 2-0 lead in a best-of-5 series possess an all-time record of 55-1. A total includes 3 series involving non-NHL clubs. That happened in the 1920 Stanley Cup Final, the 1925 Stanley Cup Final, and the 26 Stanley Cup Final. Now, the Islanders are the lone team to advance after losing the first 2 games in a best-of-5 series, rallying to defeat the Washington Capitals in the 1985 division semifinals. So you better win today, Oilers, unless you want to be like the Islanders in 85, which is a very rare company, especially in a best-of-5 series. Time now for this day in hockey history, August 3rd, 1964. Former NHL player Mark Lamb, born in Saskatchewan. Lamb played in the NHL from 1985-86 through 1995-96 with Calgary, Detroit, Edmonton, Ottawa, Philadelphia, and Montreal. There you go. Mark Lamb, former Oiler, born on this day in 1964. That does it for this edition of Locked On Oilers. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NHL. Myself, Joe DiBiase, I've got you covered every Friday.